بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, we'll continue reading from التوضيح والبيان لشجرة الإيمان, the clarification and elucidation of the tree of faith by Imam عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله رحمة واسعة. Tonight, this is our 24th session, and we'll be continuing with this final section of the book dealing with the benefits and the fruits of Iman. Last week, we almost completed the first of the fruits of Iman, and tonight, inshallah, bi-idhni Allah ta'ala, we're going to complete the first one, a little bit that remains, and hopefully be able to take the next couple of what the author, rahimahullah, has mentioned. Before we do that, as we normally do, we're going to review some of the points that we covered last week from the modified questionnaire study guide for lecture number 23, which contains only 6 questions instead of what it originally contained that we didn't cover last week. The first question is not actually in the text of the book, but we discussed it in the beginning, discussed the main difference between the second section, that is the things from which Iman is derived, that we just completed, and this third section, that is the benefits and fruits of Iman, as it relates to the actions of Allah and the actions of the Ibad. Yani, what is the relation between the second section and the third section, as it relates to the actions of Allah and the actions of the people?
The second section explains the elements of Iman.
Mm-hmm. Second section explains the elements of Iman. Now.
And it also explains what strengthens Iman.
What strengthens Iman? And
entails the actions.
I didn't understand the word you said.
It entails the actions.
Oh, entails. Oh, okay. Entails the actions of the abd. Naam. And this and the final section.
It explains what the person with the abd will receive as a result of that iman.
Yani.
As far as his favors, his bounties, and his reward.
Favors and bounties of rewards that the person will receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in summary, in just a couple of words, and he has given detailed explanation, mashallah. The summary explanation is that the second section mentions the elements of Iman, the things that strengthen Iman and increase Iman. That is specifically related to the actions of the human beings, the things that they do in order to strengthen and increase Iman. And the final section deals with the benefits, the fruits of that Iman, and what the person will receive from Allah, and that exclusively deals with the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, number 2, what are the 2 sifat, characteristics of the one who has earned the wilayah of Allah? Yani, wilayah to Allah al-khasa. What are the 2 characteristics? In brief, 1, 2, what are they? Yeah, fadl, wali.
They will feel no fear and they will know no sorrow.
Allah mentions that they have no fear, no sorrow. Uh-huh.
And they have Iman and they will show taqwa.
And their sifat, their characteristics are al-Iman and al-Taqwa. Yani Iman and Taqwa. Yani from the benefits and the fruits of Iman and Taqwa is that they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. But their characteristics are that they are the people of Iman and the people of al-Taqwa. Number 3, mention the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah that is quoted here by the author, Al-Imam Rahman al-Sa'di, defining the Wali of Allah. What was the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah that he mentioned in several of his books? Kullu mu'min taqi fahuwa lillahi wali. Yani, every mu'min taqi, every person who has Iman and Taqwa, then as a result of that Iman and Taqwa, that person, it will be for Allah, yani will be a Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. And the 4th question mentions the dalil for this definition from the Quran, from Surah to Yunus, 10th Surah, 62nd and 63rd ayat. Naam, Sadiq.
No fear for what is in, people have no fear for what's in front of them. They don't grieve for your family or what you have left behind.
Tayyib, that's true. But what we want is the dalil. Yani, dalil should be primarily an ayah from the Quran or authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ or from the secondary evidence. What is the ayah from the Quran that this these characteristics and this definition of Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah is based upon. Na'am.
Allah, inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahsanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun.
Na'am. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus that the brother is quoting, yani he's quoting from that ayah, but we want yani the text of the ayah, right? As best as we can. This is part of yani our learning process, especially for us as non-Arabic speaking people, that we must push ourselves to try to memorize something from the Quran. We shouldn't be content with just mentioning the general meaning of things. We must, as Muslims, memorize something from the Quran. If we didn't memorize the whole of the Quran, at least memorize some of the important evidences for what we believe and the basis of our religion. Yani evidences, yani dalil, yani try to memorize it. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that indeed the awliya of Allah, they have no fear nor do they grieve. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. They are those who have iman and they are those who have taqwa. Question number 5 mentioned something from the thamarat of the wilaya al-khasa, the wilaya of Allah al-khasa, and in the special guardianship of Allah. The author mentioned something from the fruits of that wilaya al-khasa is came from Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 257th ayat. He said that from the fruits of al-wilaya al-khasa is from, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu. Naam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the wali of those who believe, and He will bring them out from the darknesses to the light. From the darknesses, all different types of dhulumat, to the light of iman, of Islam. And finally, mention 4 types of dhulumat, explained by the author. 4 types that he mentioned as an example, and the dhulumat are many, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used dhulumat in the plural, He used nur, singular. The truth, the light, it is one. But the dhulumat are many. So what are 4 types, the examples that the author gave of dhulumat, and what type of nur, yani, are they removed by? Naam.
From the darkness of kufr.
From the darkness of kufr.
And to the light of iman.
To the light of iman. Iman removes that kufr. Naam. Somebody else? From the darkness, fadl. Naam. Fadl. From the darkness of jahl, yani of ignorance to?
To the light of
aum. To the light of aum, yani that ignorance is removed by knowledge. Naam. And he said, third example he gave?
From the darkness of ma'asiyah.
Ma'asiyah. Al ma'asi, yani from sin, he removes it by the light of ata'a. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final one he mentioned, yani?
Darkness of negligence.
Of negligence, yani being unmindful, inattentive, yani al-ghafla. And he removes it by?
The light of awareness.
The light of awareness, consciousness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a person to be conscious, to be aware, to remember Him, and to remember His commands and His prohibitions, and His promises of reward and His threats of punishment. And this is briefly, yani, some of what we covered last week. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we want to complete the first fruit from the fruits of Iman, yani al-wilaya, wilayatullah al-khasa, yani some of the points that we weren't able to cover due to time restraints last week. Inshallah, we want to cover a little bit of it tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So, from what remained from last week, from Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, al-Badr, hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, he said, wal-ayat al-karima, التي ذكرها الشيخ رحمه الله فيها صفتان لأولياء الله. يعني this ayat, this noble ayat that the author رحمه الله, Imam Sa'di mentions here, and it contains 2 صفات, صفتان, 2 characteristics for the أولياء of Allah. لا يكون ولي وليا إلا بهما. يعني no wali will be a wali except with these 2 characteristics. They must have these 2 characteristics. And we went over them, yani we covered some of it last week, and we just reminded ourselves of it in the review. And then he mentions the ayah from Surah Yunus, yani that the awliya of Allah, they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. And then the shaykh says, وَكَأَنُّهُ قِيلَ مَنْهُمْ مَا صِفَاتُهُمْ. Yani it is as though someone may have asked, yani, what are their characteristics and who are they? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows up that statement that the awliya of Allah, they have no fear nor do they grieve, by saying, الَّذِينَ كَانُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, that they are those who believe, who have iman, and they are those who have a taqwa. These are the awliya of Allah, yani those who have iman and taqwa. Then the Shaykh says, yani, the author mentions the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, every mu'min who has taqwa, then he is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very brief statement that coincides with the ayat and makes us to know yani, that these are the two essential components of the awliya of Allah. Not that a person yani, does some supernatural or extraordinary feat, but rather that a person has iman. And then that iman is confirmed, is strengthened, is realized, is actualized by a taqwa. By a taqwa, na'am. The Shaykh, he says, so this person who has iman and taqwa, he has earned the wilaya al-khasa, al-wilaya al-khasa, the special guardianship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes responsibility for that person. يَخُصُّهُ اللَّهُ بِتَوَلِّهِ وَحِفْظِهِ وَمَعُونَتِهِ وَتَسْدِيدِهِ. Yani every believer who has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singles them out for his special guardianship, in which he becomes responsible for them, and he protects them, and he aids them, and he makes sure that they are on track, that they are on the mark. So the Shaykh then says, this is a very important point, and we covered this principle before, yani that when words came together, two words that sometimes have similar meanings, that may have the same meaning if they are used separately, but when they come together, each has its own meaning. Like we said, Iman and Islam, right? That Iman includes Islam, and Islam includes Iman, but when they're used together, each has its own particular meaning. Iman being yani, the things that we believe in, the i'tiqad in the heart, and Islam being the actions, the outward actions, arkan of Islam, like this. So here the Shaykh brings back this principle, and he says, well, Iman wa taqwa. The same thing, that same principle is applicable to al-Iman wa taqwa. إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ فِي نَصٍ وَاحِدٍ, yani when they came together in one text, as it is in this saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, they came together, then what is intended by al-Iman here is al-Aqidah al-Sahiyah, the correct Aqidah. That's what's intended by Iman, the correct Aqidah, which is derived from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this correct Aqidah, derived from the Book and the Sunnah, it is based upon fundamental principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made clear. What are those fundamentals that are necessary for a person yani, to feel confident that they have the correct aqidah? They must have these fundamentals, these foundations, as mentioned in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 177th ayat. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين. يعني it is not righteousness, bir, that a person turns their face to the east or the west. يعني ritual activity, actions. But rather, al-bir is that a person believes in Allah and believes in the last day and believes in the angels and the book and believes in the prophets. يعني the usul of iman, also known as arkan al-iman. These are the fundamentals of correct aqidah. And then the Shaykh says, and also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 285th ayah. آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ رُسُلِهِ وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَسِيرُ. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the messenger, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, that he has believed in what has been sent down to him from his Rabb. And likewise, the believers, they believe in what has been sent down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They each believe in Allah, his angels, his books, his messengers. And they say, we make no distinction between any one of his messengers. And they said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we hear and we obey. And if they believe in those things that Allah required us to believe in, and then they act upon it. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. They didn't just believe, but they also have to have actions that are in accordance with their belief, Gufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. We mentioned in the tafsir of this ayah previously that the meaning of the end here is that in spite of the fact that they believed and they tried to comply with what Allah required, they know that they have fallen short, we know that we have fallen short, and therefore we ask Allah's forgiveness for wherever we have fallen short. Because indeed, to Him is our return. Yani, Yawm al-Akhir, which is not mentioned in the beginning of this ayah, it's alluded to here in the end of the ayah. Well, it is mentioned in the beginning of the ayah, but it's on the previous ayah. No, it's in the previous ayah. You know. So, after this, the Shaykh said, and likewise, also in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 136 ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ عَلَى رُسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ واليوم الآخر فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا. O you who believe, Allah is addressing the believers, O you believe, aminu, believe in Allah. Allah has commanded us, believe in Allah and His Messenger and His book and the book which has been sent down to His Messenger and the books which have been sent down before to other prophets and messengers. And whoever disbelieves in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and the last day, then they have gone astray. Yani, far astray. And finally, the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 5th Ayah, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That whoever disbelieves, yani rejects Iman, then their deeds have been destroyed. And in the hereafter, they will be of the losers. Yani, this is, yani, from the fundamentals. Yani, these ayahs and many other ayahs like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made clear that these are the fundamentals. These are the foundations, the usul, yani, of correct aqidah. The Shaykh says, so iman, what is intended? When iman and taqwa came together in one text, then what is intended by iman is al-aqidah al-sahiyah, the correct aqidah with these fundamentals or foundations. He said, and likewise, when iman and taqwa are joined together, what is intended by al-iman is not only the correct aqidah, but also what is intended by it is righteous deeds. Yani, what is intended by al-iman when it's joined with taqwa is not only the fundamentals of what we believe in our heart, but also righteous deeds is a part of iman. And we discussed this in detail previously, that righteous deeds are part of iman. So he says, as-salat, yani prayer, and fasting, and hajj, and charity, and birr, and sila, and sidq, and wafa, and other than that, all of these things are, yani these righteous actions are part of iman. Prayer, charity, fasting, hajj, yani keeping ties of relations, truthfulness, fulfilling obligations, and other than that, all of this is a part of iman. All of this is, yani, included in the saying, yani, those who amanu, those who believed. Then the Shaykh, he says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 143rd ayat, yani, as a proof that the righteous deeds are also a part of iman, that they are part of iman. He mentions the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِمَانَكُمْ يُضِيعَ إِمَانَكُمْ يعني أي صلاتكم. Yani most of the scholars of tafsir said that Allah will not cause your iman to be lost, meaning your salat. Yani the salat that the people were praying, yani towards Jerusalem. And then when the Qibla was changed and people had died before the Qibla was changed, some of the Muslims were concerned, would their deeds be lost? Because they didn't pray to the right direction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed here that He would not cause their iman to be lost. Meaning, He called salat iman. He called salat iman. And this is because salat is a pure, complete manifestation of iman, of the true meaning of iman, in that salat includes that which is in the heart, yani actions of the heart, ikhlas, and khushu' and so on. And it also includes speech on the tongue, yani what we recite in the salat, and it also includes the actions of the limbs, bowing and prostrating and so on. This is complete iman, that which is in the heart, pronounced on the tongue and the limbs of the body. So he said that therefore salat is a part of iman, and siyam is, and hajj and so on, all of this is iman. And this is also proven by the hadith of Ibn Abbas in the Sahihain, in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ said to a delegation who had come to him from another land, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ Do you all know what is Iman in Allah? They said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam, Allah and His Messenger knows best. The Prophet ﷺ explained to them, الإيمان بالله, it is Shahada, and La ilaha illallah, وأن محمد رسول الله, وإقام الصلاة, وإيتاء الزكاة, to the end of the hadith, that Iman in Allah is the two Shahadas, bearing witness, that none deserves to worship except Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and as well it also includes yani the actions, the salat, yani the fulfillment of the salat and the zakat. And he also mentioned there the spoils from the spoils of war, the fifth. He said, so therefore, as salat is a part of Iman and zakat, and all acts of worship that Allah has commanded us to worship Him with, all of this is a part of Iman. Every act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Iman. Every act of obedience, whatever it is Iman. So here the Shaykh is saying what? That when Iman and Taqwa are mentioned together, then what is intended by Iman is the fundamentals of what we believe in and the branches from them, as well as righteous deeds. As well as righteous deeds. All of this is intended. And as far as the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same ayah, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ Yani that they were the people who believed and they also had taqwa. When a taqwa and iman are joined together, what is intended by taqwa is tajannub al-manahi. Yani that a person avoid, distance themselves from things that have been prohibited, wal-bu'd an al-muharramat, and keeping themselves away from, yani distancing themselves from whatever Allah has made forbidden. And the greatest of the things that Allah has prohibited, and the most dangerous of them, and the most severe of them, and the most harmful and ugly of them, is الشرك بالله عز وجل. Whoever falls into shirk, that person has gone outside of the wilayah of Allah, yani in its general meaning and in its details. They have nothing from the special guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person, yani who commits shirk with Allah, their wali is a shaytan. Yani if a person falls into shirk, then their wali is a shaytan, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayah that we mentioned earlier, Surah Al-Baqarah, Second Surah 285, اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمْ الطَّاغُوتُ يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ That Allah is the wali of those who believe, He brings them out of darkness into the light. And those who disbelieve, their awliya are the taghut, yani those that are obeyed or submitted to, yani instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who bring them outside. Yani as shaitan is the head of them, and then there are the taghut besides him. They bring them out of light into darkness, and these are the ashab al-nar. These are the people who will be permanent in the hellfire, the ashab al-nar. Yani even some of the believers who died upon tawheed, but with sins that Allah didn't forgive, may be punished in the hellfire. But the ashab al-nar means the people who will permanently be in the hellfire, meaning the kuffar. Means the kuffar, the mushrikun. These are the, yani those people, yani who disbelieve, they are the permanent residents of the hellfire, and they will remain in it. Hum fiha khalidun. The greatest of the things that Allah has prohibited, and the most dangerous of them, is making shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is to make something as an equal with Him, supplicating to that one, seeking help from them, sacrificing to them, vowing to them, having hope in them. This is the greatest of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. It is the most dangerous of all sins. It is the most ugly of all sins. It is the sin which Allah doesn't forgive. As He mentioned in several places, from amongst them, Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 48th Ayat and 116th Ayat. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ That Allah doesn't forgive that a person makes shirk with Him. And He forgives anything that is other than that. Meaning, anything that is less than that. And every sin is less than shirk. To whomever He wills, He forgives. And also the Shaykh mentioned another ayat from Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 36th Ayat, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَهُمْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ لَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْهِمْ فَيَمُوتُوا وَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِهَا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي كُلُّ كَفُورٍ يعني ذا نعم كل 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 كله نعم جزاك الله خير بارك الله فيكم كذلك نجزي كل كفور يعني in this way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those who disbelieve they will have the fire of Jahannam. And death will not be decreed for them so that they would die and escape from it. Rather, they will remain in it. Permanently, it will not be lightened from them, its punishment. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we reward, we compensate, yani reward or recompense every disbeliever. After this, the Shaykh, Allahu musta'an, Shaykh mentioned, and one more thing that we'll just kind of briefly mention. He mentioned the hadith, hadith Qudsi, reported by Imam al-Bukhari from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَالَ, that Allah Himself said, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, yani whoever makes enmity with a wali of mine, then I have announced war for him. Yani that person will be destroyed. And he said in that hadith, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ, that my abd has not drawn near to me with anything more beloved to me than by doing that which I have made obligatory upon him. And the second part of the hadith, really important with the first part, he said, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, and my abd continues to draw near to me by an nawafil, the extra things after the obligatory duties, until I love him. And when I love him, then I am his hearing with which he hears, his sight with which he sees, his hands with which he strikes, his feet with which he walks. And if he has to ask me for anything, I will give it to him. And if he sought refuge in me, I will grant refuge to the end of the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari. And the Shaykh mentions this hadith to follow up on what he said concerning the wali of Allah. He said that these are the awliya of Allah. These people, yani in this hadith, which he said is known as hadith al-wali, hadith al-wali, it mentions in it their characteristics, that they are those who guard the obligatory actions, yani the fara'id of the deen, the wajibat of Islam. And they also avoid and distance themselves from that which Allah has made haram, from sinful behavior. These are the awliya of Allah. Everyone who guards the obligatory duties, protects and preserves, fulfills the obligatory duties, yani performing the five prayers, and in their time, and fasting the month of Ramadan, and giving the zakat, if they have wealth that reach the minimum amount that required zakat, as Allah has commanded, and who perform hajj, if they are able to, at least once in a lifetime. This is what Allah has made obligatory upon us. These are the obligatory, al-ibadat al-mafruda, the obligatory deeds. And whatever is besides them, then they are voluntary deeds, supererogatory deeds, extra things. So whoever did those extra things, they will be rewarded. And whoever didn't do them, they will not be punished. But, yani, so there's a difference between the obligatory duties. And then there are extra things. If a person did them, they will be rewarded. If they didn't do them, they wouldn't be punished. They wouldn't be punished for not doing them. But they will be rewarded for doing them. He said the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this hadith Qudsi, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ, that my abd doesn't come near to me with anything more beloved to me than that they fulfill the obligatory duties. So if a person did these obligatory duties, and they also definitely avoided the haram things, yani like killing and zina and stealing and things, these from the worst of them, then that person is a wali from the awliya of Allah, yani who Allah takes care to protect and to aid and support, and to yani give that person the ability to do yani the things that are pleasing to him. This person, the Shaykh says, this person who has fulfilled obligatory duties, even if they didn't do extra things, and they avoid the haram, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit that person on Yawm Qiyamah to Jannah. Bidun al-hisab wala azab. Bidun al-hisab wala azab. Allah will admit that person into Jannah without taking account of them and without any punishment whatsoever. The person who what? Fulfilled the obligatory duties, even if they didn't do anything extra, and they avoided everything that Allah has made haram. Allah would admit that person into Jannah without taking account of them and without any punishment. This is a tremendous affair that yani we have to reflect upon for a moment. This is something to strive for. Naam. They fulfilled the obligatory duties that Allah made obligatory upon them. They avoided the prohibited things. And he said, this, the one who does that, who doesn't go beyond that, this is the muqtasid that Allah mentions in Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 32nd Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِي وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقُونَ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So from amongst the believers, the people of Jannah, the people, yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit into Jannah, there are three groups of them, they're on levels, right? And we said that their levels of Iman differ from one person to another, everybody's not on the same level. From them are those who wrong their own selves, meaning they committed some sins. And they also may have failed to perform some obligatory duties. They are zalim li nafsi. And from amongst them is the muqtasid, that's the one who fulfilled all the obligatory duties and avoided whatever Allah has made haram, wa minhum sabiqun bil khayrat. And from amongst them are those who, yani, excelled, who, yani, exceeded others, yani, in doing khayrat bi idhnillah, by the permission of Allah. And these are the levels of the people of Iman, and all of them are the people of Jannah, except that, yani, those who avoided the haram things and fulfilled all obligatory duties would enter paradise without hisab and without azab. The Shaykh says that, but there's another degree above those people who did all of the obligatory things and avoided the haram. There's another degree of wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's higher than this degree, yani a higher degree of wilaya. And this is what is mentioned in the hadith of Wali, where the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ, that my abd continues to get near to me, yani, by doing the extra voluntary deeds. This is a higher degree than the first degree, yani the first degree being those who fulfill the obligatory duties to get near to Allah, and this degree is that they went further than that and did extra things, yani, that is, that they gave care to the voluntary things, yani the sunnah prayers, and voluntary fasting, and giving charity after zakat. Extra things they did above and beyond. They gave care to the nawafil after they have guarded and protected and fulfilled the obligatory duties. And this giving care to the nawafil, yani, doesn't count if a person has fallen short in the obligatory duties. Meaning that a person has to fulfill the obligatory duties. That's the most important thing. And then after that, if they have done that, then they may take it to the next level, and that is by giving care, yani, al-muhafidha, ala an-nawafil kadhalik. This is the highest degree. The more a person does of these voluntary deeds, the greater will be their level of al-wilaya, the wilaya of Allah, al-khasa. Yani, the more they give care to the voluntary deeds. This is the highest level, and the more a person does that, the greater will be their station in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life and in the next life. And then the Shaykh says, and in that hadith, yani, it is said that my servant continues to get near to me by doing the obligatory deeds until I love him, and then when I love him, then comes the fruits, yani the fruits of the love of Allah for his servant, and that is that he becomes the hearing which with the person hears, and the sight with which they see, and the hand with which they strike, and their feet with which they walk. And if they were to ask Allah for anything, he would definitely, yani, give it to them. And if they sought refuge in him from anything, he would definitely grant them refuge. That's the end of what we left from last week. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to go to the next fruit from the fruits of Iman. The Shaykh says, and we're reading from page 67 in Arabic, and I'm sorry, I forgot to check in the English translation. The second fruit from the fruits of Iman in the English translation. 64. Page 64. Pleasure of Allah. Naam. The Shaykh, he says, من ثمرات الإيمان الفوز برضا الله ودار كرامته. Yani, from the fruits of Iman is that a person will earn, they will win the pleasure of Allah and the home of his honor. Yani, the place of honor that Allah has made for those who he intends to honor. That is Al-Jannah. الفوز برضا الله ودار كرامته. قال الله تعالى والمؤمنون. This is he's giving us from Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 71st and 72nd ayat. والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعدهم أولياء بعد. يعني the believing men and the believing women, they are أولياء of one another. He begins with iman, the believing men and the believing women who earn the pleasure of Allah and the home of honor, al-jannah. The believers, the believing men and the believing women, they are awliya of one another. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Yani, they command and enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. And this, yani, is if a person has iman and does righteous deeds for themselves, then the enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong is what? For the rectification of the other people, as we mentioned in Surah Al-Asr. والذين آمن يعني والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. That's for yourself that you have iman and righteous deeds. وتواسوا بالحق وتواسوا بالصبر. And then enjoining truth and enjoining patience, that's for the other people. That's for the other people. These four characteristics is what will earn a person yani safety and salvation from loss. Otherwise everyone else is in loss except those who work on themselves and also rectify the society. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They enjoin the good and they forbid the wrong. You need to rectify the society. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ. And they establish the prayers and they fulfill the zakat. And that's the righteous deeds for themselves. وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ. And they obey Allah and His Messenger. أُولَٰئِكَ سَيَرْحَمُهُمُ اللَّهُ. These are those who Allah will have mercy upon. Allah will have mercy upon. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Indeed Allah is mighty and wise. And then the second ayat he says, and this is the reward for those who believe and do good deeds and enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Allah has promised, and the promise of Allah is true. Promise of Allah is true. He has promised the believing men and the believing women جَنَّاتٍ, gardens, تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, with rivers flowing underneath them, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, remaining in them eternally. وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ. And they will have good, beautiful homes, mansions, in gardens of permanence. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. And pleasure from Allah, a pleasure from Allah, which is the greatest. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And that is, yani all of that, yani the Jannah and what is in the Jannah, and most importantly, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the greatest success. The author, rahimahullah, says here, فَنَالُوا رِضَى رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَتِهِ وَالْفَوْزُ بِهَذِهِ الْمَسَاكِنِ الطَّيِّبَةِ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ الَّذِي كَمَّلُوا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَكَمَّلُوا غَيْرَهُمْ بِكِيَامِهِمْ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَطَاعَةِ رَسُولِهِ وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيِ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. Yani that these people have earned, they have achieved the pleasure of their Rabb and His rahmah and His mercy, and they have also won, yani they have been successful in achieving al-masakin at-tayyiba, beautiful homes or mansions, yani in Jannah, and they have achieved this through what? Yani the rida of their Rabb and the rahmah and the beautiful homes in Jannah, bi-imanihim, due to their iman, the iman through which they completed and perfected themselves, and also they completed and perfected others, yani by fulfilling yani the obligation of obedience to Allah and obedience to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. And then the author says here, and this is not mentioned in the translation ends here, right? It ends here, yeah, before it goes to number three. But there's a statement here, he says, after he mentions this, that they have earned the pleasure of their Rabb and His Rahmah and the beautiful homes in Jannah due to their iman, due to which they completed themselves and others, by fulfilling, yani by being in compliance with obedience to Allah and His Messenger and enjoying the good and forbidding the wrong, he says, فَاسْتَوْلَوْا عَلَىٰ أَجَلِّ الْوَسَائِلِ وَأَفْضَلِ الْغَايَاتِ وَذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. Yani, so they have taken hold of and they have utilized the most noble of wasail, the greatest of means to achieve success. The greatest of means to achieve success is what? Al-Iman wa amal as-salih, and enjoying the good and forbidding the wrong, and da'wah ila Allah. They have taken the greatest means and also the greatest ghayat, the greatest ends or goals. Yani, they have the greatest means to achieve the greatest goal, which is the pleasure of Allah and the place of honor in Al-Jannah. And that is the fadl of Allah. This is very important. The words of this Imam, rahimahullah, are tremendous. If a person reflects on them, let's not just read through this. But he says, وَذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. Yani this achievement is the mercy, is the favor of Allah. And it isn't because this person is great and they are wonderful and they are smart. Rather, this is the favor of Allah that He gives to whoever He wills. Nobody will be successful except by the favor of Allah. And when the Prophet ﷺ, and he talked about nobody entering Jannah by their deeds alone, they said, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, not even you. He said, وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهِ بِرَحْمَتِهِ وَفَضْلِ. Even I will not enter Jannah by my deeds alone, except that Allah covers me completely with His mercy and His favor. Yani entering into Jannah, you have not earned it by your deeds alone. Rather, it is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which we have to be extremely thankful. Now, so the Shaykh, he says, and I know that time is getting very close, the Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he comments on this portion, this third, fruit from the fruits of Iman. He says, Al-Fawd bi Ridha Allah wa Dar Karamati. This is a tremendous fruit from the fruits of Iman. A tremendous athar from the athar of Iman. Yani effect or result. Yani this is from the results of Iman. That is, that a person will achieve Ridwan Allah. They will achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the ashraf al-matalib wa ajal al-mawahib ala al-itlaq. Yani this is absolutely the most honorable of things that people desire, what people request, seek to get. And it is the most noble of that which Allah gives, from the gifts that Allah gives. Absolutely. Yani the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat that the author rahimahullah mentions here, وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. And the pleasure of Allah, this pleasure of Allah is the greatest. Akbar. Akbar min kulli na'im. It is greater than every blessing, bounty, favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's in Jannah. The greatest of them is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's mentioned in this noble ayat. وَرِضْوَانُهُ subhanahu wa ta'ala إِذَا نَالَهُ الْعَبْدَ وَفَازَ بِهِ تَحَقَّقَتْ سَعَادَتُهُ وَفَلَاحُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَاهُ وَأُخْرَاهُ. So if a person achieves this, and if they win this pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will have realized true happiness and success in their worldly life and in their hereafter. And nobody achieves the pleasure of Allah except by iman and righteous deeds and enjoining the truth and enjoining patience, as mentioned in Surah Al-Asr. And for this reason, this tremendous ayat that the author rahimahullah mentions here, he says, in it is the mention of al-iman. In this ayat, that the author mentioned here, wal-mu'minun wal-mu'minat, is the mention of iman. And the ayat begins with this first, the mention of iman. And also in this ayat is the mention of the thamarat of iman. Yani these two ayats that the author mentions in the text of the book here, there's first the mention of iman, which the ayah begins with, and then there's the mention of the fruits of iman. So he mentioned iman in the saying, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْدٍ. Yani that the believers, men and women, are awliya of one another. They enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. They establish the salat and give the zakat, and they obey Allah and His Messenger. These are those who Allah will have mercy upon. Indeed, Allah is mighty wise. Then he mentions, in this ayat he says, so that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them, بِمَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى تَكْمِيلِهِمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَسَعِيهِمْ عَلَى إِصْلَاحِ الْآخَرِينَ بِتَكْمِيلِهِمْ كَذَلِكَ. Yani, that in this ayat Allah mentions their characteristic, he mentions from their characteristics that which indicates the completion and perfection of themselves by their iman, and then striving for the rectification and the reformation and the betterment of others in completing them as well, with enjoying the good and forbidding the wrong, to the end of what he said. So they have combined between here, benefiting themselves with iman and amal as-salih, and also doing those things which benefit others. And Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said concerning this on more than one occasion, tremendous statement, summarized meaning of which is that the salih is the person who does righteous deeds within their self. And the muslih is the one who's righteous himself, but also rectifies the others. And this is the completion of the affair. That a person not just be righteous their self and just worry about their self, but what about the rest of the society? Starting with oneself and one's family. He said here they have combined between that which benefits themselves, iman and righteous deeds, and then doing the things that benefit others. Yani extending this khair to the others by enjoining good and forbidding wrong and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions then the fruits of iman. and yani good deeds, and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah promised the believing men and the believing women jannat, gardens underneath which rivers flow, abiding in them forever, and beautiful house homes, and yani beautiful homes in the gardens of eternity. And ridwan, the ridwan min Allah, which is the greatest, and this is the greatest success. Yani every other success is less than this. He says that he mentions here the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the context of this noble ayat. And he mentions in it the pleasure of Allah, and then he mentions the fruits of iman and the effects, the great effects of iman. So in it is an indication that this ridwan Allah, in the context of these two ayats, is the indication that this ridwan Allah, the pleasure of Allah, which is the greatest of all na'im in Jannah, he said it is indirect indication that it is not achieved except by al-iman wa amal as-salih and ad-da'wah ila Allah jalla wa ala, and enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. Yani that this ridwan Allah in this context, it is clear that a person doesn't achieve it except by iman and righteous deeds and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. And that the abd kullu ma 'azama hadhuhu min al-iman wal 'amal as-salih 'azama hadhuhu min nail ar-ridwan. Yani to whatever extent, yani the greater is a person's portion of iman and righteous deeds, the more a person has iman, strengthening that iman, increasing that iman with the things that he mentioned in the second section, the more a person increases in iman, the greater will be their share of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani people will achieve the pleasure of Allah, they will not be the same. Some people will achieve greater pleasure of Allah than others, and that's what yani the people who strive, that's what they strive for. For this reason, the people yani would not all be on the same level. Some would excel others in the pleasure of Allah. Yani in accordance with their portion of iman and righteous deeds would be their portion of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third fruit from the fruits of iman. If that one wasn't enough, look what he mentions here now. And again, I say this because I want us to appreciate this book, which is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous book. Look how he follows the pleasure of Allah and the place of honor, al-Jannah. وَمِنْهَا يعني مِنْ ثَمَرَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ وَفَوَائِدِ الْإِيمَانِ وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ الْكَامِلِ يَمْنَعُ مِنْ دُخُولِ النَّارِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَلَوْ قَلِيلًا يَمْنَعُ مِنْ الْخُلُودِ فِيهَا. Whoever read this before and reflected upon it, then you understand that this small sentence here is azim. Yani from the fruits of iman is that al-iman al-kamil, al-iman al-mutlaq, yani the person who has complete and perfect iman, this will prevent that person from entering the hellfire at all. Yani bidun al-hisab wa la-azab, they will never enter the fire at all. وَالْإِيمَانْ وَلَوْ قَلِيلًا, and iman, a person who has iman, even if it's a small amount of iman, يَمْنَعُ مِنْ الْخُلُودِ فِيهَا, then that little bit of iman would at least prevent them from remaining in the hellfire forever. If it didn't prevent them from entering the fire at all, it would prevent them from الْخُلُودِ فِيهَا, yani from remaining in it forever. As Shaykh Salih Suhaimi, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, just a quick note, he said in his discussion of this particular point, he said that this statement from the author is a refutation of two groups of people who deviated. The first of them is the Khawarij, who said that every person who commits a major sin will remain in the hellfire forever. And this statement and the proof for it that we're going to mention proves that they are wrong. That the person who commits a major sin, that either that Allah might forgive them if He wills, or they will be punished for some time. They would not remain in the hellfire forever, because even a little bit of iman will prevent a person from al-khulud, from remaining permanently in the hellfire. And we'll see the hadith that support this. The second group that he said refused is the Murji'ah, who said لا يضر مع الإيمان ذنب, that no sin would harm a person as long as they have iman. And in other words, if a person has iman, it doesn't matter what sins they commit, it's not going to harm them. And this also is a proof against them, because people who have iman, people who die upon tawheed with sins that they didn't repent from, if Allah doesn't forgive them, they will be punished in hellfire. They will not remain in it forever. Yani, the first group of people, they would not enter the hellfire at all. Al-Iman al-Kamil. Al-Dukhul. They would not enter the hellfire. And the second group, and who didn't have Iman al-Kamil, but they had some Iman, then they would not remain in it. Al-Khulud. They would not remain in it eternally. The Shaykh says, فَإِنَّ مَنْ آمَنَ إِمَانًا أَدَّى بِهِ الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَتَرَكَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْخُلُ النَّارِ كما تواترت بذلك الحديث الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا العصر. يعني then indeed the person who has إيمان آمن إيمانا أدى به الواجبات. يعني the إيمان through which that person has fulfilled the obligatory duties and they have abandoned the things that are haram. The person who has that إيمان, that's an إيمان الكامل, that they have avoided the prohibited things and they have fulfilled all the obligatory duties. فإنه لا يدخل النار. He would never enter the hellfire at all. As it has been narrated, tawatarat, yani mutawatiran, yani by many yani hadith, unlimited numbers of hadith about which there is no doubt about the authenticity due to the numerous narrations, yani the authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ concerning this matter, that is that some people would not enter the fire at all. Kama tawatara anhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu la yukhalladu فالنار. And also it has been narrated mutawatiran from innumerable hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a person would not remain in the hellfire man fi qalbihi shay'un min al-iman, the person who has even a little bit of iman in their heart, walau yasira, even if it's a small amount, that person would not remain in the hellfire eternally. And that's where he stops at. He mentions these two things. Yani that Iman, from the fruits of Iman, is that if a person has Al-Iman al-Kamil, they would not enter the hellfire at all. Al-Dukhul. And if a person had Iman that wasn't perfect, but it was naqis, but even a little bit of Iman, they would not remain in the hellfire permanently. Al-Khulud. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, briefly comments on this particular point. He says, and I'm trying to watch the time. He says, so this is also from the great, tremendous, magnificent fruits of Iman, that a person who has complete and perfect Iman, and they have actualized Iman in all that it requires, this person, it would prevent that person from entering the hellfire. But as for the person whose Iman is naqis, defective, and they have committed some forbidden things, or they have failed to fulfill some obligatory duties, he said this person, as long as the sins that they committed were less than kufr billahi, yani sins less than kufr, then that person, even though their iman is naqis due to the commission of some sins, that iman, even a small amount, will prevent that person from al-khulud finnar, from remaining in the hellfire eternally. And this is a tremendous thing. Yani we want to strive for the best, the highest level, but if we didn't reach that, at least yani a person can feel assured that if they have iman, some iman, they would not remain in the hellfire eternally. Eternally. Which is difficult to imagine. If a person, just imagine, if you know anything about prison, some of us might know something about prison, yani imagine a person is sentenced to life. Well, this is not life, because yani the punishment of prison will end when you die. But in the hellfire, it will never end. That gives you an idea of what we're trying to imagine here. He said that a person who has some iman, even a little bit, they will not remain in the hellfire forever. And that is because the only person who will remain in the hellfire forever is the mushrik, the person who makes shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person has no hope of the forgiveness or the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 48th Ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. That Allah does not forgive that a person commits shirk with Him. Worships, give the rights to other than Allah that are His exclusive rights, whether it's in worship or other than that, in any aspect of Tawheed. Allah does not forgive this, and He forgives anything less than that to whomever He wills. So, Al-Iman, if it is complete and perfect, yani, it prevents the person from entering the fire at all. The person, yani, this person would enter the Jannah, yani, dukhulan awwaliyan. Yani they would enter directly, first into Jannah, without any punishment in the hellfire at all. Without accounting, and without any punishment. As far as the person whose iman has been polluted, yani corrupted, by committing some sins, some acts of disobedience, or failing to fulfill the obligatory duties, yani less than kufr. That person who didn't commit kufr, but they fell into some sinful behavior, then this is the person who has this iman, Allah would not cause it to be lost. Yani it wouldn't be wasted, even if he had just some iman. Allah wouldn't cause it to be lost. Rather, it would benefit him. It would still benefit that person, he said. And he mentioned here the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِمَانَكُمْ, that Allah would not cause your iman yani to be lost. And we said that yani the scholars of tafsir, most of them said it means your salat. But in any case, it means that whatever act of obedience that a person did, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah, would not be lost, even if it's a small amount. And every act of obedience to Allah is iman. So if a person has even one act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that iman would not be wasted. Allah would not allow it to be lost. Rather, Allah will protect it, and Allah will preserve it, and it will be a cause of that person's najat, being saved from eternal punishment in the hellfire. And in the hadith, yani this report about Al-Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَخْرُجُ مِنَ النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَفِي قَلْبِهِ وَزْنُ شَعِيرًا مِنْ خَيْرٍ أو وزن برة من خير أو وزن ذرة من خير. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that any person who says لا إله إلا الله and who has in their heart iman, even if that iman is the iman equal to the weight of a barley seed of good, or the weight of a seed of wheat of good, or the weight of a dharra, the smallest thing that we can imagine, as Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani said in his explanation of Al-Bukhari, that it is a small ant. Like a small ant, yani whose weight, 100 of them, is like the weight of one barley seed. Even if a person had that amount of yani weight of khair, that's how it's mentioned in some of the narrations, and Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, he mentions in his Sahih that it's narrated from Qatada, from Anas ibn Malik, and he mentions the isnad of the hadith, that in place of min khair, yani they narrated min iman. Yani any person who has in his heart the weight of a barley seed, or a seed of wheat, or a small ant of khair, and in some of the narrations Bukhari said, it's narrated authentically of iman. What is meant by khair here? Means iman. Whoever has that, that person, يخرج من النار, they would come out of the hellfire. This hadith is a proof of what? That no person who has even a little bit of iman will remain in the hellfire eternally. يعني الخلود في النار. Even a little bit of iman. How much? Even the weight of a barley seed of iman. That person would not remain in the hellfire. I just want to read a couple of hadith and we're going to close with this. I know we're on the hour right now, so just quickly, very, very important hadith related to this topic. The first hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim on the authority of Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu. And there's a story behind this hadith. We're going to get straight to the text of the hadith. Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu, he said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من شاهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله حرم الله عليه النار. Whoever bears witness that there is nothing deserved to worship except Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, حرم الله عليه النار. Allah will make haram for that person to be touched by the fire. من شاهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. Allah will make it forbidden for that person to enter the fire. The second hadith reported by Imam Al-Bukhari on the authority of Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه. He said that the Prophet, and this hadith also has a story and is narrated also from Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Same hadith. The text of the hadith, he said, I heard, both of them said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ. Yani that there's no person who bears witness that there's nothing deserved to worship except Allah and Muhammad and the Messenger of Allah, صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ, yani who bears witness, yani by their tongue, but truthfully, having truthfulness in their heart, in what they're saying. صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. Illa harramahu Allah ala nar. Except that Allah will make it, yani the fire forbidden for them. And like I said, this hadith has a story, we don't have time. Yani Al-Hafidh ibn Hajjah in Fath al-Bari, explanation Sahih Bukhari, he says, Sidqan, yani that whoever says this, testifies to this, Sidqan min qalbihi, he said the word Sidqan here, in it is an indication to warn against the shahada of the munafiq. Yani that person who testifies to La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, but they are munafiq, then they are excluded from this. And this is also, yani indicates that the rejection of the shahada, if that person pronounces the words of shahada, but it's not coupled with the i'tiqad in the heart. And this is mentioned, yani in the Surah Al-Munafiqun, yani where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا جَاءَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ أَنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. That when the hypocrites came, they said, we bear witness that indeed, definitely, إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And this is yani affirmation upon affirmation. إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. We bear witness that definitely you are the Messenger of Allah. And then Allah says, and Allah knows that indeed you are yani the Messenger of Allah, that you are His Messenger. And Allah also bears witness that the munafiqun are liars. Yani what they said on their tongue is the truth, but it's not sidqan from the heart. And therefore they excluded from this yani statement. And then another hadith also reported by Al-Bukhari, yani from Itban ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, also has a story to this hadith. Yani he says that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. That Allah has made forbidden upon the fire the one who says La ilaha illallah, يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. That person saying it, yani desiring by that statement the face of Allah. Meaning, إِخْلَاصًا. Yani desiring the face of Allah, meaning that there's a condition. Yani just like there's a condition of sidq, there's a condition of, yani that the person says it, desiring the face of Allah. Yani saying it sincerely. And the last hadith, also from Itban, also reported by Bukhari in another narration, he said that he said, لَنْ يُوَافِيَ عَبْدٌ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. That no abd will come on the Day of Judgment saying, لا إله إلا الله, يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ النَّارِ. That no abd will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah saying La ilaha illallah with the condition that they said it desiring the face of Allah, mani, yani with ikhlas, except that Allah will make forbidden for them the hellfire. The last point that I want to make, and I'm going to close with this, is that some of the scholars mentioned Shaykh Ubaidullah al-Jabri in his explanation of the shurud of La ilaha illallah, just briefly. He said that the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will make haram, the fire upon someone, he said this tahreem, at-tahreem naw'an. At-tahreem here, that they will be forbidden in the fire, is of two types. Tahreem dukhul, or tahreem khulud. Yani that a person will be forbidden to enter the fire. Aslan, originally they wouldn't enter the fire at all. And there's another tahreem, that is, they will be prohibited from remaining in the fire eternally. Yani as we alluded to in the hadith, in the discussion of the author in the original text of the book, the people who will be prohibited from entering the fire at all are those who died upon Tawheed without having committed major sins, nor consistently engaging in minor sins. And the people that would be prohibited from remaining eternally in the hellfire are, this is in reference to the sinners from amongst the Muwahideen, the people of Tawheed, but they committed sins. And this is indicated in the hadith al-Shafa'a al-Mutawatira, yani concerning the Ahl al-Kabair, the people who committed major sins, unlike the Khawarij, who said they will remain in the hellfire forever. We say that the people who committed major sins, if Allah doesn't forgive them, then they would, yani, not remain eternally in the hellfire. Rather, they would come out, yani, by the permission of Allah. And this is, yani, what is correct concerning this affair. And this is the end of what we can say for tonight. Even though the discussion is more, yani, detailed than this, but, yani, the time is upon us. Now, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, I'll send the text of these hadith and into the class, inshallah, by email, hopefully tomorrow. Now, and that's because we have to review these hadith, which we kind of like, and we went through quickly. And these hadith are really important hadith, and all of them have any extra information that go with them, but this is the proof that that there are people who were not into the hellfire at all. And there are people from amongst the Ahlul Tawheed who would enter the hellfire, yani due to the sins that they committed that they didn't repent from and Allah didn't forgive them because they're tahta mashiyatillah. Yani whoever dies upon Tawheed with sins, they are tahta mashiyatillah. They will be subject to the mashiyah of Allah. Allah will forgive them if He wills. And Allah will punish them if He wills. Yani due to justice that they deserve. So these hadith, inshallah, please review them carefully, and I suggest that we memorize at least one of them. بإذن الله تعالى سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت. If anybody has a question, we can take a question, but يعني, and we're closing out, right, so people can leave who want to leave, and if anybody has a question, we'll take it. بإذن الله تعالى. بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خير.